Hey gang, welcome back. This is We Watch Stuff number 81, slowly approaching number 100. So, I'm Jeremy, on the other end of Shahid, as always. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying their week and the end of the week. I have been enjoying my mini vacation. I've been off of work since Tuesday afternoon, and I didn't work a full day the whole week.
Nice. Well, I work full days. I got nothing. That was all I had. I realized I had nothing after that. And I just stopped. So,
yeah.
Try and get the.
Okay. No, I was saying because I left early Monday. I only worked 5 hours Monday. Then I worked 6 hours Tuesday, and haven't worked since then. And I still have a month and change of sick leave and 3 weeks of vacation. So. Yeah.
Wow. For the year?
Yeah.
How the hell is it?
Ours build up. Like, it's government. So we get, for me, I get 4 hours. I get 8 hours a month for sick leave. Okay. And I get 12 hours a month for vacation time. So.
I gotcha. So. I guess we can start with small stories, or do you just want to go with what I consider to be the greatest week of, like, superhero TV ever?
We can go with a small story first before we jump into the big one, because I think once we jump into the big one, that's going to take up the majority of our time. Yeah. With good reason. So it was movie night for myself and the missus, and I finally got a chance to see Moana. We saw it Thursday, and at first for us, we saw it in an empty theater. Like, there was literally no one else in the theater beside us. On a 5:30 show on a Thursday night, 3D.
That's very weird. Yeah. Like, I know I told you that before, but that was the number one movie again, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it'll probably be number one this weekend too. I think it's a combination of the weather, because it's been getting kind of cooler here in Texas. It being a weeknight and it being like a kids movie, because we went at 5:30. Like, the movie theater was maybe half full or maybe a third full. It wasn't a lot of people in movies anyway, because it's kind of like a weird. This is like a weird time to go. Like, it's not nighttime, but it's not during it. It's like afternoon, evening time. So we went there. The movie's like, I think, 2 hours. It's a very enjoyable movie, like real enjoyable. It's different because it's like I told you, The Rock's the main reason I want to see it was because The Rock's in it, and he's basically playing Hollywood Rock. Like, if you remember watching The Rock when he came back from Hollywood and playing that, you know, obnoxious asshole heel, that was
my favorite
him.
Version of The Rock. Yep.
Yes, that was basically him. Like, you know, this is a different Disney movie when he's introduced in the beginning, telling the story, and then you don't see him again for another 20 to 30 minutes. And then the first time he pops up, he sings this dickhead song about how he's awesome. And everyone gets his autograph and all this great stuff. Like, it's a catchy song. Basically, him like a humble brag. And then he tries to murder this girl by locking her into a cave. And then when she escapes, he tries to push her off a boat.
So he tries to kill the main character?
Yes.
That's cool.
to steal her boat. Talking about, you'll be okay. Like, he basically locks her in a cave and puts a boat in front of the entrance of the cave. Knowing, like, not thinking there's a way for her to escape. It's like, yeah, he just tried. He planned on killing this girl. This is still her damn boat.
And then, yeah. I'm guessing they become friends and save the day and all that good stuff, though. I mean, it is a Disney
almost,
movie.
I mean, eventually, but it's like, yeah, that Han Solo thing. Like, they begrudgingly become friends. Then she kind of messes up. He leaves, says, like, F this noise, and then comes back at the end to kind of help. To help her say that, like, the story's he's playing a sidekick in this movie. Like, the story's about her, about the girl, and they make a big deal saying, like, I'm not a princess. I'm not, like, I'm just here doing this for my family in the island. Like, it's funny. It's like almost an episode of SmackDown. They spend the first good part of the movie, you know, explaining why it's important, why she's important. Like, so when something happens, it stakes, and they spend enough time to build it up, and it's really. It's not really that many people in the movie, so it's mostly focused on those two. So, like, it has a few songs in there. The songs, even if you're not a musical fan, because I'm not really a musical fan, the songs are catchy. Like, anybody that knows Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know, the guy from Hamilton, he did the songs. And you can tell, because the song you'll be humming, it, like that rock song, I've been humming it all morning. So.
God. That's how Frozen became so popular, too.
Mm-hmm.
I tried sitting through the first 20 of that. And maybe that movie's good. I don't know. But the audience we were... not audience. That may sound like we were watching somewhere. We were just watching it at an apartment. And some of the people watching it were singing along with the songs. Like, incredibly into them. And they're 30 years old. I was like, oh my God, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this tonight. And just left.
Cold.
Yeah, and I've never gone back to watch. So,
yeah, it's actually an enjoyable movie. Like, we saw it at a movie theater, even though it had been out for, like, what, 3 months? And we went in there and the movie theater's full. Like, because everybody was talking about, I'm like, this movie must be that damn popular because it's been out this long. And we go there on, like, a weekend and it's a full theater. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not used to that. Usually theaters are full for a week, 2 weeks. If it's like an older movie, it might be fuller for longer because old people don't rush to see movies. They get there where they get there. You're not used to seeing something that's out a long time if people still going to see it, but that's why it made as much money as it made. But no, like I said, one, that movie, Moana, was an enjoyable movie. It told a good story. It's like a different story, like an ethnic Polynesian story. And yeah, The Rock can do no wrong. Like,
so
I mean,
because
he's basically ever. It's funny. Ever since he came back to wrestle, like around that time period, he's just been knocking everything out the park. And it's funny, like between him and, you know, like we know John Cena is about to host Saturday Night Live, and he's doing another movie.
Wait, he is.
It's like, yes, he's hosting. I think next Saturday, matter of fact.
Wow.
Yes.
How has WWE not promoted that?
It just came out, like the news just came out today. So,
okay.
So they're probably promoted like Monday or definitely Tuesday. Yeah, he's going to be out the door soon.
Because I haven't been on the net too much today. So that's shocking news. Wow. I mean, that show still blows, so it's not going to matter, but it's good exposure. So,
I mean, people
him.
Turn, yeah. People turn in when it's a guest they care about, because when Dave Chappelle showed up, yep. I remember that's the first time I watched in like forever, and I was laughing my ass off like at his stuff. So if it's like somebody that I actually like, I will, like if it's somebody I actually like, I watch Saturday Night Live, but I've never been a big Saturday Night Live fan. But considering that we haven't really had any other wrestlers besides The Rock, I think, host it, like that's a big, like he's done the ESPYs, he's proved he can do comedy, he's about to do like, they just announced he's doing this other comedy movie. He's going to be one of the leads. Like, it's funny where you would have figured, I think it's the same thing like The Rock. You would have figured John Cena, square jaw, big muscle man, he's going to be an action star. And his niche has been comedy, like dry comedy. And he's always said that, but if you ever watch WWE, you would never think like, yeah, this guy's going to be like a R-rated raunchy comedy star. And boom.
Yeah, I mean, R-rated maybe, because, you know, when he came in as a doctor of Thugonomics, which seems forever ago. But I did catch what you said with Dave Chappelle, by the way, when you said you laughed at his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't believe how bad that show was when Dave Chappelle was the host. The Negan thing was funny because it was him and all of his characters. That opening sketch with him and Chris Rock, that was funny.
Yeah, and, I caught that after. Like, I missed it. I caught that after the show when they put it on online.
Yeah. I mean, it's got Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle doing, like, racial humor, which is just funny. Well, then, I guess racial. Is that topical? Both.
Yeah.
Well, then, and then, I don't know what happened. They had that awful skit with the press conference. Where it had the, you know, the very modern joke of we're talking about practice. And then the Weekend Update, the only part I laughed about was Michael Che ruining the joke by saying the wrong ethnicity. Which was very funny because he wouldn't let it go.
And it kept going back to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then I think I turned it off when, I don't know, who was playing Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Oh, Kate McKinnon.
What the fuck was that? I didn't understand it, and I didn't get why people were laughing or cheering. So
I mean, because she's known for doing it. I think the joke is she plays that role like somebody that's, you know. not going to die because Ruth Ginsburg is in her 80s. And the whole thing is like she was always going to say she was going to retire because she assumed like Hillary Clinton was going to win. Now Trump's going to be president. She's like, I gotta outlive these bastards. I did chuckle when she took that big bag of emergency and just guzzled down dry because like it's just so ridiculous and she just did it, you know, with no shame whatsoever. And I'm a fan. Like I didn't even know she did Saturday Night Live till she did Ghostbusters. So I don't know her Saturday Night Live stuff. Yeah. I liked her in Ghostbusters a lot. Like I couldn't take. I don't know what it was about her because she wasn't glammed up or anything. I could not take my eyes off her whenever she was on in the movie. Like, I don't know what it was.
See, I want to take your word for it because I haven't seen it yet. It's not on Netflix yet, so or Amazon Prime. So, I know the part you're talking about. And the two parts I found funny during the weekend update, which we'll get off this in a second, were the two parts that were mess-ups. She put that stuff in her mouth, and then she couldn't talk. Like, it's like they didn't plan that through. And then, you know, Michael Che going back to his joke over and over, which he colossally messed that up, which was really funny. But, oh well. But anyways, so that's big news, though, with John Cena hosting Saturday Night Live. I guess I'll have to set the DVR. Well, football season's over after this week, so, well, college at least. That's all I do. I mean, the wife is going to be very happy after this weekend because I won't be sitting around watching Montana versus Rhode Island at 2 o'clock in the morning replay. So, but okay, I'm going to continue to call it this because I honestly felt this way. This was the greatest week of comic book television ever. I know they've had releases, you know, you can binge watch Luke Cage, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, all that stuff. But consistently 4 good DC episodes, and then I really liked S.H.I.E.L.D. this week. And that's actually where I want to start because the DC stuff's going to take over the rest of the show once we're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was told
how did
on, Oh, go ahead.
How
did
S.H.I.E.L.D. get this? How did S.H.I.E.L.D. get this good?
With no press. There's no buzz about this show anymore. Which I think is a damn shame because this is the best season of it. It's concise, it's tight, the characters are all really engaging, and I don't know, man. I really enjoyed this, especially I was down with Mac becoming Ghost Rider. I was like, I'd watch that.
Yeah, like just the fact that when this show started a couple of years ago, no one would ever guess that, what will put this show over the top is adding Ghost Rider to it. Like, and it's there, and he fits naturally with the show. It's like everybody is, I think it's just everyone has spent enough time on it, like, you know the characters, and they all act like they're supposed to act, and they don't waste time with, like, storylines. Like, once that whole Winter Soldier stuff dropped, since then, they just keep it moving. And I think moving it like an hour later and basically making it almost like a soft R, because S.H.I.E.L.D. was already violent as it was, like, I think it hurt with the ratings, but it helps with the show. Like, the show is just awesome. And they do not hold your hand. Like, they're getting a lot of mystical stuff. And it's funny where I think the one thing that hurt it is that it took so long for this one to come out, like, after Doctor Strange was out, because it basically played, like, if you watch Doctor Strange, it definitely helps you understand what's going on with this episode. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, then it's like, what's this mirror universe stuff nonsense talking about? Yep. Like,
well, there was so much in this episode. I just lost the name. What is the android's name? The woman?
Ava.
It is Ava. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, but then Ava at the end becoming self-aware, which you knew was coming anyways. Whenever there's technology in one of these things, it never goes well. So the idea that she's becoming self-aware, and I'm guessing creating... I couldn't tell them what she was doing. Creating a real brain? Trying to come up with it? Or just studying it enough? Like,
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But just the fact, like, the whole moral aspect is, like, she was like, I'm designed to do dangerous things so humans don't have to. Mm-hmm. And May was like, "Bet, let's do it. Let's open up this magic book and mess with stuff we're not supposed to, because that's what she's here for." And it's like, she didn't spend time hemming and hawing about the ethics or where to come mm-hmm. from. She was like, "Okay, this is what I got. This is what she can do. Let's go." Like, you have to wait like two commercial breaks for them to get to that point. They got to that point in like 30 seconds. Like, yeah. a different show would have like dragged that out to talk about the moral implications. And they're like, "I just want to save my friends."
Well, yeah, yes. In other episodes, this would be, or other shows, I'd say a 2-3 episode arc for that to finally happen. Like, being conflicted, being angry because they had an android. And it's like, well, man, I think it was even brought up in the show after all the stuff we've seen. Maybe that was Legends of Tomorrow, but it was basically, after everything we've seen, why would you question this? Be like, well, yeah, of course there's a robot. Okay, fine, whatever. No, but that's part of the conciseness of this. It's, there's no wasted movement in this show, and I think what hurt it also was the fact that it went on this break for some reason. I know that the election happened, but that was almost a month ago now, and I don't know what ABC had in its place, because I mean, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the only thing I watch on ABC, so I really don't know.
I don't know either.
And then next week is the winter finale. Like, wait a minute, you just gave it almost a month off, and now you're gonna one more episode. I figured it would have just kept going.
Yeah, because I know some of the other stuff, like the CW stuff, took off like a week. Because all of their mid-season finale stuff is next week, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we looked it up, we could figure out a reason why. I don't know why S.H.I.E.L.D. took off a month. And it's just, I hate when, because they've done that before, too. And The Flash did that. I don't remember if it was season one or season two. Like, take a break for like 2 to 3 weeks, come back for two episodes, then take their winter break. Like, that's, we'll remember to come back from the show because the DVR reminds us, but you don't like messing with momentum. Like, you take this long-ass break, you come back just to take a break again. It's like, people will move on and watch other stuff.
Yeah, I'm going backwards here. We'll see what was on Tuesday. This is November 18th, something like that. They had David Blaine, Beyond Magic.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So you want to see a bunch of actors jumping up and down pretending that they got duped by cameras.
Yeah, I watched that when he was pulling the goldfish out of his mouth. I'm still trying to figure out how the hell he did that. So, yeah. There was some people on Facebook saying, "He's not a magician. He's a damn demon called Dr. Strange." Because he pulled three live goldfish out of his mouth. Whatever smoke and mirrors he did to do that, I'm still wondering, like, I know magic is not a thing, but how the hell are you pulling live goldfish out your mouth? So, yeah, but... okay.
And then the next week was a Dancing with the Stars finale.
Shout out to Lori Hernandez and the other guy that won, so...
Oh, okay. that one just sounds shitty. I don't know.
She was on the gymnastics team. She was the Cuban girl.
Oh, okay. Well, it's funny. My parents always ask me, "Hey, did you see Dancing with the Stars?" I just kind of turn around and just dismiss them. Like, no. No. Why would I ever watch that show? And then I remembered. And I remember because Calvin Johnson was on. And my dad's like, "Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, Calvin came in third." Like, well, that sucks. But getting back to S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm trying to figure out from this episode if Ghost Rider's gone after next episode. Because it says Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider, but it almost seems like a perfect break to like go into a different direction. Especially because, and this news came out a few weeks ago, we just kept forgetting to talk about it, that they're actually trying to get Ghost Rider into its own like entity or series again. Mm-hmm. with the same character. So,
I mean, the way they talked about it, like how they preview next week, is like you got a feeling like if it happens, you're not that surprised, because it's kind of like they're building up to it. And I don't, like, if it works, look, the character works. Like, yeah, the guy does a good job and he's awesome doing it. I don't know how well it will work by itself, but I know the character definitely works on TV, and they have enough money to make it work and make it look legit. I wonder how they would do that, though. I don't know if they would go the Netflix route or keep it on TV, though.
Well, with how violent Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be, I mean, I guess you can. You can keep it on there. I mean, it's the good old American thing. We don't mind, you know, our violence for the most part. They're not showing titties, and they're not saying, you know, fuck at any time, so everything's okay with that. So, I mean, I can see it just being an ABC show. I can see it being an ABC show. I don't know if it should be an ABC show. So, if that makes any sense. Because Netflix is going to be so crowded with Marvel stuff now. I mean, I don't know where it would fit. I mean, hell, we haven't even gotten The Punisher yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. But it seemed like a natural break, especially at the end when... it's Jamie, right? Or am I thinking of... Yeah, Jamie's Ghost Rider, right? I almost said Johnny Blaze, so...
I just lost... No.
Yeah.
Damn. I just had a damn brain lock.
Oh, my God. Hang on.
Robbie Reyes is Ghost Rider.
Robbie Reyes. Reyes is Blue Beetle. That's why I was thinking that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Damn DC nonsense.
Oh, God damn. But, yeah, no, I thought that, too. I was like, oh, my God, I'm getting my companies mixed up. I didn't know anything about this character. So I was like, all right, this is working out really well. But they gave us the hint the last episode, not this week's. I'm sorry, not last week's episode, the last episode that was on, when they showed his origin and Johnny Blaze, I'm guessing that was who that was, gave him some of his power and took off. So that's why I said Nick Cage lives in the Marvel Universe. That's canon now. And seeing Mac take off on the motorcycle, I was like, what the hell's going on? And then they do the whole thing where they showed what happened. I was thinking, wow, we almost got Ghost Rider on. I mean, and I say that with all due respect because, like I said, I'm enjoying this version of the character with the car. But the iconic Ghost Rider is still the guy, whoever is the vessel for Ghost Rider, is the iconic guy is still the guy on the motorcycle. And I was so hoping they were going to do that, but didn't happen, unfortunately.
I guess you got to kind of stick your foot in the water, so to speak, like, you know, just to see. And you don't want to have too many, like, one. I don't know if it's the idea of, like, one Ghost Rider is enough. We don't have two, but they've kind of, like, teased and talked about it enough. I think they do a good job. Like, the people who watch and they trust, like, if you're still watching at this point, you kind of know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you better learn to know what's going on because we not hold your hand because we got stuff to do. So...
Well, speaking of stuff to do, I just lost my train of thought. So that's one thing I got to do now is try and get it back. Wow.
Let's just jump into what we really want to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. We can start with Supergirl, but Supergirl really didn't have much to do with this until the end. Uh-huh. They had like Barry and Cisco trying to get to her. And then, you know, they show up at the end. I don't remember. I didn't see the episode now that I thought about it. Was Barry at her apartment before?
Not till the end.
Okay.
He was bouncing around looking to see where she was.
No. I meant in season one of Supergirl.
Oh, he might have been.
Okay. I was hoping so because he said, yep, this is the place. I'm like, okie dokie. So.
Yeah. He may have been. I think. I don't know if he was. If. They were at the apartment when they might have been there when he got her the ice cream with James.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. So, but
yeah, so we can pretty funny much skip Supergirl, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, the weird thing is, I know we talked about before, like, it'd be nice if Supergirl was in the same Earth as the other ones. And watching these four episodes, I'm glad she's not, because it's funny, it didn't sink in. I think we kind of gloss over it and then sink into, like, I think Flash episode, how much more powerful she is compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
And they made a concerted effort to prove, like, and they didn't do this whole thing like, oh, if you use tactics, you'll knock her out, like this whole Batman crap. It's like, no. Because, and we talked about before, like, it's a problem with Arrow and Flash. Like, Arrow is more grounded, and Flash is, like, a little more, you know, they do superpower stuff. But Supergirl is, like, in a whole different weight class. And, like, we complain when, if Flash is there, he can solve all of Arrow's problems in, like, 30 seconds. If he wanted to, but you don't do that because that messes up the show. So you can imagine how difficult it'd be for Supergirl, because they're basically shooting her, with flame guns, laser beams, and everything, and she's just there smiling, like, isn't this cute?
Well, I mean, well, they did at least have the mind control part, which I guess showed a weakness, but that's from an alien, from a alien race, and then, well, and then out over on, and I want to back up, actually. I don't want to skip Supergirl, because even though it had a minimal part of this crossover, that was one of the better episodes. From the Kryptonian mist that would kill aliens, because they wiped out that entire bar.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I didn't like that bar anyways, so I was all for it. the reason I didn't like it was, all of a sudden, this bar's been here forever, and they're just now figuring it out. It's like, wait a minute, you guys are the DEO. How can you not know this was here? So I was like, well, and isn't your job to be keeping tabs to make sure, like, you know, none of the alien people are, you know, evil, I mean, something like that?
They're not men. They DEO. They're not MIB. So
I mean, like, government, sorta.
Government organizations are fallible, as we have learned throughout. So yeah.
So that I didn't really mind. The Mon-El stuff, they forwarded that a little bit, which I still, to me, still feels like it's out of the blue. But I'm, like, in two episodes that it's been around between him and Kara, I think it's okay. Like, it's grown on me that quick. Although they did kind of totally gloss over, you know, there was a line. I don't think it was this week. It might have been last week's. Jimmy Olsen saying, well, yeah, there was nothing between us, or, you know, Wynn's like, well, there's nothing between us, and he's like, yeah, there was nothing between us either. It's like, wait a minute, did Flashpoint change all this stuff? Because you guys were just making out in the first episode and then called it quits. So, okay.
I mean, you move on. It's like, you don't tell your homie like that. You're like, oh, yeah, me and her used to have a thing, but we don't,
but that
so we'll
wasn't
knock
that
it out.
A point of contention in the first season between him and Wynn?
Cause, yeah, know, but they worked it out. But it don't have nothing to do with this guy. It's kind of like, I mean, this guy's coming in, and you want him to, they don't have any issues with her. Like, they don't have any ties to her anymore, and they want him to have a clean slate and a clean chance. So it's like, yeah, nothing happened. So that's how you help the homies out. It's like, probably say, yeah, me and him both had a crush on her. She didn't like this doofus right here. We dated for a little bit. It didn't work out. But hopefully third time's the charm.
Yeah,
like,
well,
you know, why would you say something like that? It's like,
we'll
nah,
see. But Supergirl, like, really forwarded a lot of their stuff. And not once did I think, hey, they probably need to get Superman's help on this one. Although it does need to be addressed about how somebody else, oh, I'm sorry, Cyborg Superman. It's funny when you read comics and people call him Cyborg Superman. It's like, okay. And then you hear it, and especially in, like, the forced way they're trying to get it through, and it's just like, that is a dumbass name. Like, at least Cyborg, as much as I goof on him, he's Cyborg. That's it. He doesn't have to be like Cyborg something. I'm not Cyborg Smith or whatever else. Although Cyborg Smith sounds better than Cyborg Superman.
And why would you, like, why they did it and why they're doing this show, but, and I know they got it from the comic, but it's different. It's funny, like, when you read stuff, maybe it's not ridiculous, but when you see it and hear it, it's like, and I always use the example, like, and they made a big point, like, how goofy Supergirl looked, Because I never really thought about it till she was with everybody else. Like, yeah, she do look like either a cosplay girl or a stripper. And it's not her fault, because I think it's the cape. And people have talked about that. I think that's because none of the other like characters on the other shows have capes. They have costumes, and some of them look better than others, and some of them look weird. But I think, yeah, because she got the cape, and she got boots, and like she looks like a traditional superhero, which looks moronic in real life. If you like, she looks great in the costume, but she looks goofy. Like, she looks corny, and I like that they called it out and like, but just kept it moving.
See, I don't know. I was so into these episodes, I didn't care. I didn't think twice about it. But when you said you spoke of looking idiotic or ridiculous, I'll jump to this and then we'll go right back. That steel costume has to go. It's got to go away. One, I don't know why he. I don't know why he's wearing a costume. He turns in the metal.
Because he don't want to walk around looking naked like Colossus used to.
I was like, he put that helmet on, and I was looking like, what is this? Like, I mean, the comics character is kind of goofy looking as well. But this, it reminded me of Alicia Silverstone's Batgirl mask. Or cowl, I guess. Yeah, that's... But
I mean, at least they acknowledge, like, and I love Mick so much because he's basically saying stuff that we say. Like, I nod the fact, like, what do you have on? You look like a damn moron, more or less.
Yes.
Like, you look ridiculous. And he's like, he's a goofball, and he's doubling down on, like, because his whole thing is he wanted to have powers because the whole hemophiliac thing. He likes being a hero. Heroes have costumes. And he plays it earnestly enough. It's like he's kind of like Cisco and Felicity, where he's so earnest about it. It shouldn't work. I don't have a problem with it because it is goofy. He knows it's goofy. Everyone around him knows it's goofy. It can't be any goofier than an assassin walking around in a dirty white jumpsuit. So, but it's like little things like that, like the interactions with people. And you forget, like, these are like four separate shows, but they all kind of like to a more or less have good chemistry with each other. And the main thing I like, and it kind of how they enforced it, and I don't know if me and you talked about it on text or whatever, you don't realize how much Oliver Queen stands out, like how badass he looks at everybody else until he's interacting, because they looking at him like he's like a rock star.
Yes.
Like, oh, he's the man. Oh, he's the mayor too. Like, what's her face? Iris look at him like she wants to bone this man.
Yeah.
Like,
what was her line? Oliver Queen's a Green Arrow? Yeah. Oh, that makes him so much hotter. And he's like, I'm right here. Like, well, I guess that's how Bruce Wayne would be. I mean, it's still two different characters, but, you know.
I mean, it's funny because you think of them around being around the same age, but we talk about, like, he always seems older, like he's been through more, and it just, like, reinforced, like, you know, this is the guy that's been doing it. He's basically Batman. Like, he plays Batman when they do this stuff. And it's funny, like, you can tell the friend, like, of course, the chemistry is great between Supergirl and the Flash. And I love how I looks at Supergirl like Batman looked at Superman. Yep. Like, I don't know about this one. Mm-hmm. Even though that whole end thing, you know, I can't deal with all too much weird shit at one time. So why don't you sit this one out? Like, I know why they did the Legends, but it just came out. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Like, we fighting aliens, and you doing this whole, we need to build a wall around Supergirl because you want to be an alien phobe all of a sudden. Like, yeah. Like, I know why, because you don't want Supergirl doing all the damn work, but it just seemed out of the blue.
Okay. When there were so many geek out moments in this show, and when you said Supergirl not doing all the work, when it got to the end of Legends, Flash is running around the city, placing the little pain marks on everybody, and then she had to go and do the same thing. You've got them going all that, and they had the big swooping camera shot of, I'll call them the Justice League, just go with it that way. Or Super Friends, I guess, because the Hall of Justice finally made its debut, which I had goosebumps when that showed up. I was like, oh my god, they actually, what, they did this? Really? And I know, it's kind of immature, but whatever, it was great. But when they had that, you had Flash zooming around Supergirl, going through the streets, everyone's fighting on top of the roof. I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I've seen Avengers, but like I repeatedly say, Marvel wasn't my big thing. And seeing this sort of stuff, I mean, I even told you, like, if they could have worked in Superman somehow, and I also forgot if they could have worked in Martian Manhunter as well, I would have fallen off the goddamn couch. I wouldn't have known what to do. I mean,
I think if they'll probably do this again next year, and they'll probably do better, because I think what happened was a scheduling issue with, like, Supergirl wasn't in it that much because she's busy. He's busy filming stuff. Like, their schedule, they didn't realize they were going to be on CW until they were on CW. So I think their schedule was different than the other shows. And I think it's the same thing like Legends. Like, Legends kind of like film stuff. Like, season, you can tell how different season one, season two. Like, season one was kind of like we rushed some stuff, and some stuff worked, some stuff didn't. And then they had time to breathe. They made it work. I think what happened with this one is, they didn't do a lot of stuff with Supergirl because, one, she'd have been like, well, she can fix everything. And then, two, I don't think they had the schedule to do that because she wasn't like she. They barely interact on the Supergirl episode. She was in Flash a lot. She wasn't barely in Arrow. And then 80% of Legend of Tomorrow, she wasn't there. Like, so I'm wondering, like, how much time did she have to do it? But when she was there, it worked, because it's just seeing, like, you forget. I think it's kind of like you're used to watching, like, you forget, really, even with Flash and Arrow, they don't deal with aliens. Like, they deal with, like, street stuff, and they deal with metahumans, and you kind of, like, I think you're used to watching Marvel, like, it's just matter of fact. Like, DC, like, when Arrow and Flash, and we're jumping all over the place, like, at the beginning of Flash, and they land, like, the ships land, and, Barry lost his damn mind. He's like, aliens, like, what? And just think about all the stuff he's fought a shark with pants and a gun.
Yeah. Before. Well, he goes backwards and forwards in time. Let's not forget that too. So
yeah. Like, he's fought stuff that people that can control weather. Like, one of his friends tried to freeze kiss him to death, and he's still losing his damn mind when he sees an alien, because it's like, yeah, I'm not used to aliens beside this girl that I know from a different Earth. And I did laugh when near the end of Legend Tomorrow and Felicity and Felicity, Supergirl, and Adam are talking, and he's talking to Felicity like, she looks like my cousin. He kind of looks at Felicity, then kind of looks back, and it took me a second to catch it, and then I just started roll my eyes, like little stuff like that. Like, people who watch that show know that he played Superman before, and it's like, that's a joke for us. And they basically nods like, yeah, we did that throwaway line because we know people would like that. That, and I don't know if you noticed it, when Felicity was on the Wave Rider, they first went in time, and she was talking gibberish. That first line that she talked, I forgot what it was, that's straight from Star Trek The Next Generation.
I was wondering if she was doing something.
Yes, that's okay. What we're from. And I listened, I'm like, I cannot believe they pulled that. Like, it's this episode where Picard and this alien played by Paul Winfield are, like, stranded on the island, and the alien talks like story, like he speaks English, but everything is like story, like such and such did this at this.
Okay.
And it's kind of like Enemy Mind, where you're trying to figure out each language to try to, you know, communicate while fighting a, like, monster. And one of the famous lines from that episode was the one she said, and I saw that, I'm like, there are nerds that are, like, writing this show, and it's amazing. This is on a CW budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
Just think about that.
Okay, I hear that. I hear that a lot, actually, about, well, what I hear a lot is how DC's taken over CW. I mean, four nights in a row, that's an hour of their two-hour programming at night. And then I just wonder, well, what the hell else would it be on CW? Like, I know they have other shows, but I just, like, Supernatural's been on for 13 years. I think it's 13 years, something like that, if not longer. I was like, I've never seen an episode of it.
I mean, I've seen it when it come on TNT, but I've never watched from beginning to end. Like, The Vampire Diaries been on a long time, but that's about to go. It's funny, like, we've talked about a lot. CW is like network version of the Sci-Fi Network, because
yeah,
they have a few romantic shows like My Ex-Girlfriend and Jane the Virgin, but the majority of shows are like genre shows. I Zombie, the new one Frequency, all the Vampire Chronicles, the original Supernatural. They're doing like this. I don't know what the hell this Archie show is.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it looked like Archie plus. It looked like Archie plus Twin Peaks. Like I don't know who, what weed they smoked to come up with this idea. Like what if we mix Archie and made it gritty? Like who thinks of these things? But
well, there's everyone comes up with goofy ideas, but then who was like the smooth talker that got them to agree to it? Like you're in a pitch meeting, you're just sitting there like, okay, cool, thank you. The next guy comes in. All right, so remember the characters Archie? Oh God, yes. We don't want to do another remake. No. This is Archie meets Twin Peaks, and you immediately perk up like, all right, I'm listening. And it's like, we got these other shows to fall back on. Give it a try. And I'm basically where I'm going is I think CW's these DC shows. I mean, they're not getting huge ratings, but they're probably getting higher ratings than the shows that they would have on there. So in a way, These DC shows have helped and not save CW. I don't think there's any danger going away. But before Arrow, I never watched an episode of their programming. So
yeah, well, before Arrow, it was mostly like I used to watch it because Nikita was on, even though I basically watched most of it on Blu-ray. But really, before Arrow, it was like 90210, Melrose Place, Gossip Girl, like those type of shows. Like that was basically CW. And when that's why Nikita stood out so much, because it's kind of like one show does not look like the other. And since Arrow came, it went more sci-fi, where it's kind of like now it's a show it's a network with predominantly sci-fi shows with a few romantic old school CW shows. And before it used to be romantic comedy CW with one weird show or two weird show. And I think when Nikita came and Vampire Diaries and then Arrow is kind of when it started switching from one to the other.
Yeah, so it seemed to work out. But,
yeah.
Getting back on track with these. I know we're all over the place, but there was so much good. I'm trying to think of a negative besides Steel's outfit. I really didn't have one. Ugh.
It's stuff to nitpick, but nothing taking me out of it. Although, since Frankenstein trying to justify, Tom murdering his daughter he didn't know about, it's like, we all know he's not going to kill this woman. So, I don't know. That storyline is seen where it's funny, like, at least that storyline had a payoff. And then I like how the end where you forget Firestorm does more than fly around and shoot fireballs. He can, transform stuff.
Yeah.
And that part was cool because it reminded that. I got to talk about Arrow's episode because, man, that was in a good way, in a great way. That was some tough ass watching.
Yeah.
She was like that
watching with me, and I was trying to explain everything. Like, they never got a chance to say goodbye to Laurel. They talked, and everything was fine, and then she died. I mean, there was no, like I said, just never got that chance. And at least in this, that was rough at the end, because they're fighting and all that, and like, okay, and then they all turn around and, like, they're all saying goodbye to their respective people, and then Ollie goes up and that was, I don't know, man. I knew it was coming, but I didn't realize it would be that good.
Yeah, it was just tough, and Thea was breaking my heart, because it's like, you know exactly where she's coming from. She's like, I know this isn't real, but look at what we deal with in a real life. Like, I can't, she's like, I can't do this. And I was like, you know what? I understand. Cause he almost, and it's, what stuck out when, cause one, it was like a shared thing. And I think that stuff, like when other episodes do that, where it's like one character has the dream thing and they interact with other people. It's like this one, all five of them were having it. Yep. And it says a lot about Diggles that even in his dream scenario, part of his dream is being a Green Arrow and fighting crime.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird.
And not having a family. Like, his whole thing is, I think it fits in, like, he's a soap, like, he's always about fighting the good fight regardless. And it says a lot that even in his dream sequence, his idea of an ideal lifestyle is being a vigilante and not having a child. Like, what does that say about the man? Like, that's what you really want to do. Like, it's something about that just hit me. Like, something about that just hit me, because, like, Diggle is just, he's always like that grown man, voice of reason, and then him interact with all this weird stuff is funny, because that's how real life people would be. Because it's like, I never use drugs, so I didn't want to see weird stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. Real quick. Diggle's all. Mm-hmm. It's funny how in these episodes, though, these crossovers, that Diggle becomes the point of view of the audience. Because Barry comes in, swoops up, grabs Ollie, Diggle, sends him back. Diggle immediately just starts throwing up. And he's like, I don't understand this. He's like, and then there was a line, they're talking about normal, and Diggle just looks at Barry and says, yeah, I think everything normal ended when you appeared. And then ran back to the balcony, started throwing up. And then, what was it? I can't remember which episode it was, but Diggle mentioned something about, I think it was when the Legends showed up. The Wave Rider comes down, and they're all sitting there talking, and Diggle looks around and is like, don't you guys act like this is normal. Like, we see some stuff, this is not normal. But...
yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, it's normal to them. Like, it's funny when you think about the Legends, like, they used to doing this weird stuff, like, they fought zombies and dealt with slavery. But Diggle's used to, like, chasing bank robbers, and he's seeing super, like, bad enough when the Flash shows up, but he's seeing Supergirl and a damn time ship in Aliens. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna need a whole bunch of alcohol. But like, back to Arrow 100, like, it's little stuff, like, it's something I didn't even think about till they did it. It's kind of like the line, like, how they portrayed Sarah, like, almost where the only reason she was really in the guy, like, the only reason she wasn't in the Girls from Jump Street was because she was trying to, like, hide it, and she could use Barry as a shield. Because, like, they made a big point saying, oh, I'm in the girls. I'm da 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 da.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, how that was kind of, like, it was ambiguous until she showed up on Legends. Like, it was always, well, maybe she likes both. And then, like, when Legends came, it was like she's predominantly in the girls. But it was kind of like they never really, like, they play as a joke in season one, and they play as, like, matter of fact in, like, season two. But it's funny, like, I never really thought about it till they kind of made a hint, like, yeah, if Oliver wasn't messing stuff up, she wouldn't have been messing with dudes from Jump Street. She'd have just been with girls, and everybody was cool with it. And it just made me miss Laurel. Like, it's funny, I didn't think I would ever say that, because they didn't do her justice when she started.
Yeah.
And by the time they started treating her right, she died. But when she was just looking back at him, like, I was just... Dude, that episode was tough, because it just thinking, like, it just shows how, it showed about how, what being a hero is about, because he's like, you know what, I don't do this for the thanks, I don't do this for the rewards, I do it because it needs to be done, and you're giving me all this stuff that I thought I wanted, but I know it's not real, so I'm just going to give it up. And out of the most, like, he had them, like, he, his parents are still alive, he's about to get married to this girl, Tommy's alive, and I like the joke saying old Tommy couldn't make it, he's busy in med school in Chicago, because he's on that Chicago med show in real life.
Oh, I was wondering why they said that. Okay, is that where he's at now?
Yeah.
All right. That's, I don't know. It's little things like that. I know some people, like, will criticize that sort of stuff, but I think that's pretty clever, actually. You know, that's fine. Yeah, it was funny seeing Malcolm Merlyn again, because he's been absent, what, all season?
Yeah.
So, I was like, oh, all right. I thought he was going to show up on Legends, which I guess he still can.
I think he does eventually. I know Snart shows up next week, so.
Yes. Yeah, and I was pretty happy to see him again. That was one thing in Flash when they had to tell him Snart was dead. It's like,
Yeah, I forgot that he didn't even know, and it was just tough, because it's funny where you wouldn't have thought those two characters would have been the breakout characters when Legend started, and they were, more or less. It was like, they were awesome. And it's funny how Mick was such a one-note character on Flash, just to see him, like, he's just, and I don't know if it's the actor or what it is, he's just entertaining, like, he's gruff, he, you know, and him interacting with Supergirl, just being a damn pig, and like, well, how'd you get the name? I burnt my family alive, I like to play with fire. she's looking like, I was like, okay. Like, I'm like, what in the world? Like, she's like, who are these people Barry had me around? And him just being a sexist pig, like, I ain't gonna call you Supergirl. That sounds stupid. Yeah. And Sarah just rolling her eyes, like, don't pay him any mind.
I'm gonna call you skirt.
But as soon as shit hit the fan, what's the first thing he yelled?
Yep.
Supergirl, take help.
But so, then on Legends, they brought it back around, and he called her skirt again.
And told, so call like, me.
All right. The Arrow, that was rough, man. I was messaged. It was killing me that you weren't watching it live.
Like, yeah.
I was hoping it would be good. I didn't think it would be that good, though. To cover, especially in the middle of this crossover, to cover that much ground.
Not only the ground it covered and everything, it ends with them escaping a damn spaceship and flying in another spaceship.
This is where this became the greatest thing, the greatest shows ever. They embraced, it was all comic stuff. There was no, well, we got to make this dark. And basically, it's not the movies.
Yeah.
And it's, okay, here's our guys that, well, no, none of them know how to drive a spaceship, but they know how to hit buttons. Luckily, we have the captain of, you know, we have the captain of the Wave Rider. He used to be in the League of Assassins, but now she's flying around time traveling in a spaceship. Or, I'm sorry, not a spaceship, a time machine that she can hit the buttons and figure out how to fly it and go, oh, yeah, we can do this instead. A spaceship zooms in, and not one person bats an eye. No, that is when Diggle said, you guys are all acting like this is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, yeah, this is kind of normal, actually. This is great. Because there was no, like, apologizing for it. It was just a big-ass adventure.
And yeah.
And that's why
you gotta
it worked.
Keep it moving. It's like, you know, yeah, we got to get off. We got to get off this spaceship. Well, we ain't got time. Like, let's get to it. And it's just hilarious, like, little stuff like that where people just embracing how weird things are. And then kind of like Legends did that big thing. It's kind of, oh, I got to bring up something because it's funny. Like, the whole thing with Cisco and Barry. And yeah. I know some people saying, oh, Cisco's being a dick and all that, and he need to get over it. And my thing is, we really going there? Like, the whole reason this is issues because Barry couldn't get over it.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, his brother did die. Like, that's not mean something like, you know, he does have the right to get mad and be mad about that because his brother died and everybody more or less kind of had their lives ruined or affected because Barry was being selfish. And that ain't something you brush off because, you know, I makes come on. You know who need to get over it? Batman. He need to get over it. But he never did, and that's why he's Batman. Yeah. Like, Flash never got over his mom dying. Even though people told him, don't mess with the timeline and yada, yada, yada. And Sarah, like, people was calling her a hypocrite. Like, she thought about messing with the timeline and doing that, but at the end of the day, she didn't, even when she had the opportunity to do it, because she kind of, like, I know the consequences. And, she misses her sister, and she not doing it to bring her sister back, even though she thought about doing it. And it's kind of like, I think people kind of getting on, like, oh, he being a dick and he telling people stuff before they read it. No. And it's like, no. That's the big thing with both Arrow and Flash is, like, the heroes are defined a lot of it by, with Barry, is hubris about thinking, you know, I can fix it, whatever that's wrong because I'm so smart and so fast. And with Oliver, is like, I don't tell anybody anything because I can hold the weight of the world up to me and I won't put it on my friends, even though it's blown up in both of their faces. Like, how many times has that bit, you know, Oliver in the ass? Like, it happened season one, it happened, you know, season three with the whole I'm gonna join the League of Assassins, kidnap Diggle's baby, pretend to blow up the city and not tell anybody.
Because
Malcolm Merlyn told me that's the best thing to do, and at the end of the day, he's going to run the League of Assassins. Yeah, I know he killed a lot of people in the city, and I know he's a monster, but I hope you can understand. And then lying about the baby, and people got on Felicity, is like, stop lying. Like, and then I know how Oliver's like, you know what, let's handle one thing at a time. It's a lot of weird shit going on. You don't really get it. And Cisco's like, you know what? Nah, like, enough is enough. Like, I get the point you're making, but lying and hiding stuff is how we got here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And but I like how they tied it into Legends, where it's kind of like, you know, when Cisco thought he was trying to do the right thing in the past, it messed up the future. And Barry is like taking responsibility for it, saying like, yeah, it is kind of my fault. Like a lot, the whole Dominator's getting here is my fault. So yeah, well, and they like, you know,
well, and, Stein, and they, I remember Stein took Stein realized that he messed up the timeline too. That's how his daughter came to be, by talking to his younger self. Now he's got a daughter. So there's always, and it goes back to what we've talked before about the Legends show. They're just trampling all over history with no consequence, basically. So it's nice to see some of these things, you know, starting to happen finally. But if they go anywhere with it, of course.
Yeah, but. And it's kind of like you don't want it to be too. I think that was the issue with. I know people had complaints saying, like, you know, season two, they played fast and loose with, like, you know, time stuff affecting that. And they're right, too. They definitely right. But it's like, you want stuff to be fun. And you don't want to get all dogged down to kind of like, oh, we can't do this, this, and this. Like, it's a goofy show about them traveling. And it's not really about time, it's about people. Like, they travel in different times. But it's more about the people. It's not like it's a character-driven show. Like, we're dealing with this particular type of things and like history with these people. Let's have fun with it. And you get to dress up with new stuff, and the characters like are actually characters. And like somebody made a good point, like the difference between season one and season two was in season one, somebody could say a line, and if you just read the line, you wouldn't know who said it, because it's almost like the everybody was interchangeable besides like looks and powers. And this, in season two, like, people had personality.
Yeah.
And it's stuff to grow. And it fits. Because, like, Mix, another example, like, you know, him hitting it on Supergirl at the end. And both him and Sarah asking each other, do you think the new president is hot? Yeah. Like little stuff like that. Like, he's, you know, he's a pig. He doesn't change, but he's still down with the team. And that pep talk, like, yeah, I don't like you, but you're part of the crew. And we don't let, you know, we don't let the crew, we don't let the member of the crew down. Like, great pep talk, coach, but it's like straight to the point. Like, that's something he would say.
Well, that's also how the Rogues usually operated too, which on Flash, you know, they've totally gotten away from. Well, Flash has always gone big ideas, so you never really had the Rogues team up that much, and that's kind of how the Rogues operated, so it made sense. Yeah, Mick's got a little more coming out, has come out a little bit more. There was the other geek out moment was, well, amongst the many, that this was also a Cisco part. I can't remember the exact line, but there was all the nerds together, all the tech people together, and they all reacted to the same joke. I think it was during Flash. It was like, it was Felicity, Roy, Cisco, something like that, and it was all, and I can't remember, I think it was Joe, maybe. Joe, or it might have been the Heat Wave, and was just like, "Oh my god, like what am I doing here?" So, but
yeah, like it's always fun when Cisco and Felicity get together, because they just have great nerd chemistry, and then Citizen Steel has that same type of energy. So just seeing them interact, like the characters just work, and I like how the end kind of wrapped to it, kind of like, you know. Yeah, Supergirl, it's funny when you see Supergirl, Arrow, and Flash together, like, they just seem like they just fit. Mm-hmm. Like, the three of them. Even though Supergirl's barely known them that much, like, she's just so bubbly and enjoyable, like, it's hard to just, like, even if you're not a fan of the show, I don't know anyone who has a problem of her playing Supergirl. Like, the character, like, I haven't heard anybody complain about the character, about that. And then seeing how, you forget kind of like, you know, like Barry and Oliver are friends. Like, they're not, oh, huggy kissy friends, because it's more like big brother, little brother. Mm-hmm. And I like how before the training montage, you know, he was basically telling her, like, don't take it easy on, like, when I first trained him, I shot him.
Yes.
Because it's like, we fighting aliens. It's kind of like, I know people make the joke, but he's Batman, more or less. He's younger Bruce Wayne. Like, he does the Batman stuff and everything. And it's kind of like they play him as, like, the senior member of the team, and that part where it's kind of like, oh, we're gonna let Barry be the part team we brought together, and then Barry's looking to Oliver like what to say, and they're like, we can see his mouth moving.
Yeah, yeah. And we could go on, on and on, but there's another thing we got to touch on, which I forgot until just now. Before we leave that, I liked the tease of Cisco telling Roy that it's time for an upgrade to his suit.
Yeah.
Which I'm all for, because that clunky monster's got to go. But that's for another show. But overall, I mean, there was everything good about, like, really to me, it was everything good about comic books they got through on that TV, on those three and a half episodes.
But you even, got, like, the Supergirl stuff is kind of like, you know, even the stuff, like, it's funny. When Arrow debuted, if somebody would have told you, like, a couple years from now, this would have happened on the CW, it would have been no way in the world you'd have, like, this, we basically got, like, more or less as close as we're going to get to the Justice League as of this point, and we got on the damn CW network. And we weren't complaining about how it looked or looking cheesy. It's kind of like, I'm watching it like, this is amazing. Like, I would have never thought comic books would come, like, even when all these movies we've seen, I think it's different when it's TV.
Yes.
Because it's kind of like thinking you would never see this on TV, because either no TV network would have the gumption to do something like this, or budget issues or whatever. And they just, I think it's when The Flash debuted and they just embraced how comic goofy it was. Yep. I think it was kind of like, you know what, this works, let's just do it. And they just went all in. They didn't worry about how silly it looked or looking too, because they are comic book stuff. It's people running around in costumes, flying and shooting stuff. Embrace it. You got aliens running around with and they did make a point saying, we wanted to have it look more like the comics with, like, the capes and stuff, but it was CGI. Like, we couldn't get the CGI down, so that's why we didn't have it. So they actually acknowledged that. I read an interview about that.
Okay. I wish we had more. I know we do this all the time, but to wrap up Supergirl real quick, I was really happy with the way the Alex stuff turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad, another thing that they did not drag out. That was, what, 3 episodes? But it felt like a natural progression, it wasn't forced. And to see Maggie just suddenly be like, oh my god, I could lose this, I'll figure it out later. And basically just be like, yeah, no, I like you, let's get this on. It's like, good. That's how real people act. So it was nice to see. So anyways,
speaking of women acting in real life, Lucha Underground.
Did you like this week's show?
I will admit this. This is the first time where, like, we both watched the show. I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was the same way. Yeah.
Like, I'm glad it ended the way it ended, but it was like, this is like a damn Netflix snuff film.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not just the fact, like, the men on women thing, I've kind of got used to it, but it's not just, like, if it was just regular wrestling, like, it's fine, because it's kind of like, okay, it is what it is. But he's kicking these women in the face. He's slapping them.
That was my thing. That was my thing, yeah.
Mine was when he took, I forgot which one it was. There might be more than one. I don't know if it was the first woman or the second one. And threw her in the chairs. I'm like, this is some... Like, this is like a hate crime. Like, and you know the worst part about it, and I think it's, I don't know if the Lucha Underground part, is they don't really have a lot of true heels when you think about it. Like, people that boot, like, Johnny Mundo is, Matanza is, and sometime Mil Muertes, but even then the crowd kind of cheers them on their chair. And that's it. It's like Pentagon Dark acts like a heel, acts like an asshole, but everybody cheers him.
Yeah,
like,
I thought he was supposed to be a bad guy.
Yeah, and he is supposed to be a bad guy. He beats up women. He, like, you know, he's beating up Vampiro more than once. Like, he does horrible things, but he's so charismatic. Like, he's like tasked with personality. Like, he's a bad guy, but he's so cool. Like, with the face paint and the look is just awesome. Like, that's just a look.
Yeah.
And that just messes up, like, You cheering for the bad guy, and even when he does horrible things, they're not helping when it's, you know, one more time. It's like, yeah, this is like the bad parts of ECW.
Yeah, I was watching, and I didn't watch it Wednesday. I watched it yesterday, and I watched part of it Wednesday night, and then the rest of Thursday. And I've not complained, but just had concern about, well, one, it's 1A, 1B. One, the realism of it. Because these guys, these 250, 270-pound guys fighting 110-pound woman, the guy's going to beat the hell out of them every single time. Like Mil Muertes losing to Sexy Star was ridiculous, but it was
It's part of the story. At least it was kind of like he was beaten up earlier. They had a long match, and it's kind of like a fluke win. But it's hard to talk about. I get what you say about realism, but then you remember like they have shows where you have dragons walk around. It's like people. This Mexican luchador, he's like the Silver Surfer.
Yeah. Well, then Katrina can disappear from one side of the ring to the other as well. Like,
yeah, I don't know if it was you or somebody else. Like, somebody made a joke saying it was funny. Like, right after Lucha Underground went off, Mortal Kombat came on, because it's kind of like Lucha Underground is basically Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it is. It really wrestling. Is. Complete with the heart getting ripped out.
Yeah, and it's like, but. They play it like they play it straight, but they still wrestle. It's like you're supposed to believe Sexy Star can hang with these guys because you see her do bicep curls with 200 pounds.
Yeah,
so
which was still one of the funniest things they've done, whether they meant to or not.
Yeah, and then when you have like when she's talking to the mech and he's talking in English and she's talking in Spanish and they understand each other, and it's like, okay, I guess.
And this is how much of a fan I am of the show. Like, I actually, I guess, care about the characters. When the Mac came in and he started basically going heel on Sexy Star, I sat back like, wait a minute, are they doing, what's going on? Why are they doing this to these guys? And then they're like, nah, I'm just playing. It's like, oh, it's like, oh, they got me. It's like, okay. Because I honestly thought that was going to be some sort of feud. Because I read the spoilers when they came out 6 months ago, but I don't really remember what was going on. So in that vein, I was surprised when Johnny Mundo won the title the very next show.
Yeah, I only knew he won because I looked on Wikipedia and they told me he was champion. Like, I looked by accident. I wasn't even looking at that. And they like, because I heard Sexy Star won, and I remember like there was this big brouhaha and like Meltzer was talking about everything like that. So yeah, but. No, that was I'm glad at least the women got the upper hand at the end, breaking his arms and everything. At least, because it's kind of like, at least it was a pair. Because that third girl she came off as badass. Like, yes.
Was she the one that got tossed in? All right, you said one of the women got run into the chairs. Another one, like, took a header into the, the steel guardrail.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I start tapping out, like, this isn't, I don't want this to keep going anymore. Because it was the one, like, they can do the fake kicks, they can do the pulling your punches, that sort of thing. That's fine. Like, the big body slam moves, well, they're trained. And I was having this discussion on the Stunt Granny audio last week, whenever this gets posted. About, I don't worry about the guys getting hurt too often with the big moves because they're professionals. I mean, accidents happen, obviously. So when they were doing, body slams, almost said flips and flops, arm drags, that sort of stuff, okay, that's cool. But when it came to, he was just open hand slapping these women in the chest. And yeah, I know, it just stings. I don't know. I don't know why I have such a problem with that when, But I also didn't like when, what's Johnny Mundo's guys? The Underground? Whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They were putting the beat down to Sexy Star, and then he used brass knuckles on her. Like, I didn't care about the brass knuckles. Because it was like, all right, whatever. Because they just did a 3-on-1 beat, kicking and beating down of her. Like, holy crap.
Yeah,
I don't like this. And
yeah, like, when you see, I was in the same way, when – it's funny where, he panic on Dark power bombs a girl, you don't worry about it. When he just punches Square in the face.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
– yes.
What – yeah, and I'm watching that. I'm thinking the same thing. Like, this is, and that's the first time I actually watched Lucha Underground and felt like this is uncomfortable. And I'm surprised. I'm glad the girl won. I'm surprised she won. That dive she did was that dive she did was insane. Like, and she, I don't know any. I've never seen her before. I don't know anything about her, but she just came off as like, yeah, you beat the first two. I'm like, nah, you ain't like, I ain't the one. You can do what you want. And but I think the problem is he's a villain that everyone likes, and it's the same. It's almost like to a certain extent. The AJ Styles issue where people ask, like, why is James Ellsworth there? I'm like, if James Ellsworth wasn't around, no one would chair Dean Ambrose over AJ Styles. Like, basically, because before we wrap it up, I don't know if you watch SmackDown or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I caught the second hour of SmackDown after watching Flash. So I'm watching. And I'm seeing him in the ring and everything like that, doing the Ambrose Asylum, and AJ Styles is trying to do everything out of his way to get booed, and they're not booing him. So until he almost decapitated James Ellsworth with that Styles Clash,
that's where we were talking about the professionalism part, but like about how it was safe, but it still looked scary as hell.
Yeah,
but yeah, but with I don't know, man. I think as, and not to make like a, not deep, but with the issue of domestic violence becoming actually like a topic, a conversation that's almost like a daily basis. I mean, whether it's an athlete doing it, you know, movie stars, whoever, it's seemingly always in the news. It's seemingly, it doesn't seem to be getting better. Or maybe it's just, maybe it is, but it's just the stories are just more prevalent now. Well, then I go and watch a show where a dude just punches a chick in the face. Like, and I know I'm watching a show where a guy just punched a wall into the form of a bloody question mark. But that dude looks like he's 500 pounds of rock, not some sleight of frame woman that gets her arm broken by the guy after. And I know, like, I don't see how that would break an arm, but I don't want to try it either. But, I don't know, man. I just don't like it. And that's why I didn't really like this week's episode that much. I was like, okay. Oh, and also Vampiro doing his shtick with him moaning and, like, I guess getting off watching this. Like, this is stupid.
I mean, but it's weird because it fits in his character. You know, his character's always been kind of off. I think it's the issue where they try to have it both ways. It's kind of like they make this big effort, like saying like the women are just as badass as the men, and we don't want to, you know, we want to treat them as like equals and everything like that. You can say that all you want, but it's still jarring when you see, even in movies, you see men fight women. Like I remember John Wick, and that fight scene we used to have with what's her face, Adrian Palicki, and they fighting and she's beating the shit out of him. And he finally gets the upper hand. I did laugh. Like, he puts the pillowcase overhead and just straight punches her in the face.
Yeah.
And I remember saying that, but it didn't. You know what the weird thing was? It didn't feel out of place. I didn't feel dirty about anything because, like, these people are really fighting, and yeah, I'm trying to do that. But for whatever reason, when Lucha Underground does it and some stuff they do, it's just jarring. Like, I don't want to see people get punching women in the, because it's like, I know it's wrestling and it might be staged, but it's not necessarily, it's not fake.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
I don't know. I would be like, Jericho always talks about, remember when they had the huge angle with him punching Shawn Michaels' wife in the jaw?
Uh huh.
Like, Jericho insists that he really punched her in the jaw and he really broke her jaw. It was an accident. And I'm like, I don't believe it. But it's like going with that story that he was supposed to pull his punch and he accidentally didn't. That's the real, and like I said, sticking with the story, that's the real consequence of that.
Mm-hmm.
A guy his size hits a chick her size in the mouth, she's getting busted up badly.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. And I understand it's kind of hypocritical when I watch a guy turn and tear the heart out of his teammate, but they disappear into a little ball of ash, and I go, okay, this is Mortal Kombat, basically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite episode, and I'm looking forward to moving on to next week. So,
yeah.
With a big reveal at the end, with Ricochet being resurrected by, and this is where it gets idiotic, our whole conversation, but mm-hmm. where Ricochet is resurrected by Vampiro. So,
yeah. Well, I'm pleasantly surprised. I like watching him wrestle, and I thought he was like, once they had that match, like that was it. Because I know, like, eventually he'll be gone. But I thought that was it.
I did too. I thought that was the kiss off, but
yeah. But no. Quick thing before we go, like, I started listening to you guys do Stunt Granny talking about the language on SmackDown because I was thinking the same thing. Like, I'm watching that, and it was extremely jarring, but in a good way. To hear how Becky Lynch was talking about Alexa Bliss, like, basically yes. got the point, like, you know what, I am tired of this little bitch.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it was just like out of the blue, and the crowd was like, whoa. And I was thinking the same thing, like,
yeah.
And it was earned because they've been having beef since the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been what, 4 months, 5 months, and it's kind of like, yeah, like both her and Nikki Bella reached the point like, you know what, enough is enough of this damn nonsense. And they have the emotional weight of the feud that Charlotte and Sasha Banks should have but doesn't have.
Yeah.
And it's funny thinking about that.
All right. I know this is kind of a ratty way of doing this, but did you see the pictures of Carmella after Nikki Bella put the fist to her?
No.
Caught some shots in there. I'm sorry, Carmella caught some shots from Nikki Bella. She's got a black eye, she's got like a little cut on her nose, and then like the other side of her face has got a little bruising on the other side. And I'm like, okay. But and now it was Charlotte, so that's not even that. Because remember, Charlotte caught Nikki Bella and broke her tooth before Survivor Series. But it's like, that's a woman hitting a woman. I know Nikki Bella's way bigger, like muscular, than Carmella is. But just imagine, going back to wrap up the Lucha thing, that's Pentagon Dark punching Carmella in the face. We have a much different reaction to that. So
yeah, her
face
should fall. Her face should fall off.
Yeah,
if it happened. And that's that's the first time we talked about it. Like where I couldn't suspend disbelief anymore because it's like this isn't fun. I'm watching it to see where it ends. Like what are they going to do? But it was tough watching this scene and like. Because you know what the funny thing? It'd have been tough if it would have been two men. Like, because if it was like James Ellsworth and AJ, if AJ Styles was doing the James Ellsworth, that would have been uncomfortable after a while.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how it was doing with these skinny, like, these women can be as tough as they want. They weigh 115 pounds, and
yeah.
he weighs more than 115 pounds. And he's punching them in the face, slapping them in the chest, throwing them through stuff. And drop them on their damn necks. And the crowd's cheering, like, do it one more time. It's kind of like, when Brock Lesnar did that to Zach Gowen, the crowd wasn't cheering for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Imagine if they were and how that would play off.
Yeah. Well, it was still a good week of TV, though. One 40-minute segment's not going to ruin the rest of it, so.
Amen to that.
Yeah, because I think that was all that was on this week, so. But anyways, depending on when you listen to this, because I know we recorded this on a Friday, and I have to go eat, so we'll see how this works. There'll be another show. Well, I think. We got to talk about schedules. We'll have a show either next week or later in the week, depending on when you're listening to this. So, thanks for listening, guys. I'm going to get out of here. Just subscribe on all your social media, all your podcast platforms. Just look for Stunt Granny, and you get everything. Us, Stunt Granny, and the Opa Show with Kevin and Ken. And I'm out of here, man.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and we saw history with the Justice League. We are out.